dived into this skill, and it is a skill, of learning to ask for help and receive help. What are some of the other skills that you see mothers need in order to feel more of how they want to feel, but we struggle with? Like boundaries would be one that I would see. What else do you see?
There's a lot that's coming in my mind, but I think the first and probably most important one, and it's funny to name this a skill, but it really truly it is, it's self-love and self-compassion. That is one of the hardest things that my clients go through, but it's such a beautiful, beautiful journey. And actually, when my clients finish my mentorship, I always ask them, like, you know, there's a lot of like strategic stuff. There's a lot of like strategic learning. There's exercise, there's all of this. But when I ask them in the like little feedback group, like, what was the biggest thing you took away from these 12 weeks? The most common answer is, I learned the ability to love myself and make myself right, which is something that I had never experienced before. And I was always really critical of myself, and I was always really judgmental of myself, and nothing was ever enough. You taught me the strategies to just be okay and not make myself wrong. And when that happened, I became a place of peace and home. I guess this goes back to the beginning of the episode when we talked about trauma drive. I think that's something that we do have to learn, right? We do have to learn.
That's been my experience too. And it absolutely is a skill. And what I find so exciting is that we can learn it at any age. We learn to be hard on ourselves and to criticize ourselves and to push ourselves and to put ourselves under pressure and judgment. We can learn all the opposite as well. Just having access to those teachers and having the courage to change it, because it does take courage.
And what I've also learned and know to be true is you can't create abundance from a place of not being enough. If all that you're thinking is, I'm not enough, I didn't do enough, I need to do more, that's that push energy. However you want to define the word abundance, whatever it is that, again, going back to what your soul wants to experience, you will never experience that from a place of lack. When you can emotionally connect to, what do I do have? What is right in my life? Who am I? And what is the safety that I have around me? That's when you can kind of look at the world with, I'm so excited to see the opportunities of abundance that come in.
It's hard to notice those little moments, even when you are sat with your child and you're thinking, oh, the house is a mess and I haven't replied to that message and I'm late for that and my boss needs this from me. It's hard to notice that little hand on yours. You don't notice it. I don't notice it when I'm stuck in that constant critical internal dialogue.
Absolutely. And universe doesn't know to send you more abundance if you have it and you're not noticing it. It's like going to a restaurant and you have a plate full of food and you're asking the server, can I get more food? They would look at you and say, but you have it, right? That's different than saying, like, this is so delicious and I'm really enjoying this. I'm also open to trying some more. Can I have more? You know what I'm saying? So it's a silly metaphor to say, like, the more you can emotionally connect to, I do have this and I do have that, the more you really create from a place of having, exactly like you said.
What you focus on grows, isn't it? And this is not about spiritual bypassing. I think it's really important to also feel the very real inequities that are very real for mothers. I think we have a complete right to feel angry about how society views us, how the system is set up. And it's not that, it's that we also get into the practice, as I understand what you're saying, of noticing what we do have as well.
Yeah, I love that you emphasize that. Yeah, absolutely. I believe that wholeheartedly. We have to feel all of our feelings. What we resist persists. So if we are feeling depleted and overwhelmed, we don't want to resist it and say, oh, but you know, I'm so grateful that I have my house. That's beautiful. That's real. But there's so many lessons. And it doesn't need to be a painful, long process. It can actually be a rapid release process. But if you can look at what is making me feel so overwhelmed, what is making me feel so depleted, that's where the shifts happen. And that's really, really important. I talk about that all the time. Like, don't gaslight yourself. If you are feeling something, the mindset industry so often tells us, like, just think positively, not realizing that all of our thoughts come from our environment. So it's so much easier to think positively when we're on vacation on the beach, right? But when a toddler's screaming and not sleeping, and it's hard. It's hard to emerge the thoughts from that environment. So it's kind of feeling the depletion and understanding, like, what is this here? What is the root here?
And what would someone do next? So you said that tool of getting into it. Like, why am I feeling so depleted? What can I do? What is within my control? Yes, I can't afford more childcare. Yes, I can't afford a cleaner, or I can't afford to, you know, whatever it might be that they could see would be a quick win. Do you think there's always changes that we can make?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Again, going back to the most important one, which is self-love and self-forgiveness, number one. I'll talk about a few more tangible things, but in that moment, if you have that, it really helps in the moment when your toddler is screaming and your house is a mess and you're not sleeping. Try not to spiral down that I failed and this day is awful and I'm a bad mom, et cetera, et cetera. If you can hold that thought and kind of shift it to, I'm doing the best that I can with what I have. I'm the perfect mom for who my baby is. My baby wouldn't want anybody other than me. We are meeting the moment together. We are growing together. And this is not permanent. The other thing I would say that can be really helpful for depletion is two things. One, being in community with people who are going through similar things. So if you have somebody who has a child around the same age, you do not need to necessarily go to like a postpartum support group, but even just having somebody in your life, one or two people, a group, the right group, right? Because sometimes, you know, sometimes like Facebook groups can get a little bit like, I have seen some kind of not so friendly and judgmental things on Facebook groups. So the right groups, you could literally be talking about the weather, and that in itself is healing because you're with people who are going through the same traumatic thing that you are. There's a lot of evidence. I did my doctorate research on trauma healing, and there was so much research that said that essentially, trauma always happens in relationship. So you must heal it in relationship. You cannot heal it by yourself. You cannot lift this off yourself. There's so many examples of, you know, veterans or survivors of trauma or survivors of the Holocaust. When they created communities and grouped together, even if they were just playing cards in the evening together, there was a certain kind of healing. There was a certain kind of community understanding of what's going on that you were allowed to just be and not self-compromise in their presence. So having a group or community is incredibly, incredibly important in this time. And then the other really important thing is, I'm sure you have talked about this on your podcast before, and there's probably experts that could speak to this more than me, but really the importance of somatic work, meaning like moving your body. Energy can get stuck in our body. The more we sit in our homes, the more we sit behind offices or desks or computers, TVs, that energy gets stuck and that rage can really come up. Sometimes with my clients, we start with goals like 15 minutes a day. I would love for it to be more, but 15 minutes a day where you are by yourself, either on a power walk or dancing, like whatever you like to do to just like move this energy out. It really, truly helps a lot when you feel that rage and that anger, if you have a movement practice in your life.
I think it's so important. And actually, you know, if you are with young kids at home, you know, to get out with them, kids love being out. I don't think that has to be those 15 minutes you find necessarily on your own if that's just not an option. I think you can do that release work, can't you, with your kids as well. You touched on self-forgiveness, and something that I wanted to ask you about is, you know, you're a postpartum specialist and you help people think about that postpartum period. But so many mothers that I know feel sadness and some guilt and some regret about how that postpartum period was for them. Maybe they suffered from intrusive thoughts, which we know is incredibly common, but they didn't know that. So they just beat themselves up about it. Maybe they weren't as connected with their baby as they wanted to. Maybe they didn't have the birth they wanted to. Maybe they didn't set themselves up with the support and they found themselves making tea and cake for endless visitors in the days after. And I speak to a lot of women who feel really angry at themselves about that and wishing that they did it differently, but perhaps don't get the chance of a do-over. How does someone find peace and forgiveness with that so they can move forward?
That's a really beautiful question. I'd like to answer that question and then also maybe talk a little bit about like some preventative measures so less folks feel that way after they have a baby. The first thing I feel like I want to say is I really want to normalize this. I think part of feeling guilty and angry is because we have this belief that this is just happening to me and everybody else is having these beautiful postpartums and really attaching and bonding to their kids and something must be wrong to me, right? There's a big part of culture and social media that really fuels this fire that you are the only one who's getting this wrong. What's wrong with you? You know, everyone else has like this maternal instinct and knows what they're doing. None of us knew what we were doing postpartum. None of us. And most of us had disassociation or disattachment from our newborn baby, because it is such an incredibly radical change. I mean, I remember bringing my son home and I wanted my son. I prayed for my son. I loved my pregnancy, loved my husband. Day one of bringing him home, I remember thinking, what did I do? I ruined my life. And it was because my husband had to sleep in the other room because we were doing shift work. And I was just so sad. This baby is causing me to have to sleep alone. You know, it's just such a silly thought, like 3 years postpartum, but in the moment it felt really, really real. So I just want to incredibly, incredibly normalize that a lot of us, most of us, maybe all of us to an element, feel this way because we are mourning the death of what used to be. So what I would say for that woman, if she was sitting right in front of me and saying, like, how do I forgive myself or release this anger? I'm never going to be able to have the chance to do this again with this baby. What I would say to her is, you have your whole lifetime to teach your daughter or your son the mother that you are. And the mother that you are, for me, I think there's nothing more than I want for my kids to know. Like, my mom, she knew joy, she knew love, she knew happiness. Your kids don't care about if the house is clean. They really don't care about what you do for a living. They have no idea what's in your bank account. I want my kids to know, like, my mom was the highest version of herself. So many of us actually mourn the fact that we never got to see that version of our mothers in some capacity. And so whatever age your child is, there's still the opportunity to be the highest version of yourself for them so that they know, like, I got to meet mom at her highest potential, who she could be. And that's my drive and my stamina every day. I don't get it right every day, all day. I certainly don't. But I have a very clear direction of where I want to go for my children so that they know mom made a real difference in this world in the way that she could, in the capacity that she could. She was able to know joy. She was able to know love. And we got to experience that through her. And so there's always that opportunity. I think we often think that, like, we have to self-sacrifice for our kids, but we really do such a disservice. Because again, our kids want the highest version of ourselves. So it's never self-sacrifice if you know you're stepping into that.